Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Grace, God's grace. Had it not been for God's grace, we would still remain as Adam, right? Oh, someone don't want to agree with me. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you this morning. Thank you for your wonderful grace. Thank you, Lord, that which we don't even deserve. And you came, oh God, and gave us hope when we were all lost. We thank you for this opportunity to share your word. And Holy Spirit, come and speak your word and take charge. And let me just be a vessel for you, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And so we continue with our series, A Well-Instructed Faith. And last Sunday, we talked about justification, right? We talk about justification. This changes everything. And justification did change everything for us. Because through justification by Christ, we have some benefits that we talked about last Sunday, right? How you answering like you don't know it well? I need a confident answering. Yes. There you go. So today, Dad, please help me go to the next slide. We're going to talk about two men, Adam and Sin. Oh, hold on 1 second. Thank you. We're going to talk about Adam and sin, and we're going to talk about Jesus Christ and grace. Two important things right there, right? Two men, Adam and Christ, sin and grace. From our passage that I read beautifully by our brother Greg, we want to go to our internal truth. Please help me in the next line. Dad, let's go. Let's skip this slide. Thank you. Yeah, here we go. Now, through Adam's sin, death, judgment, and condemnation came upon all. Not one person is exempted through because of Adam's sin, but all mankind, human race as a whole, was affected. But whereas through Jesus Christ, mankind has what? God's grace. Amen. Mankind has God's grace, the gift of righteousness through justification, and not only that, but eternal life. Because without God's grace, we will have been condemned to death, to hell. But we thank God for God's grace. So we want to look at these two men today. Very important figure in our Bible. One begin with the creation. Adam. God created Adam, right? And he placed Adam in a garden to have dominion, to rule everything. In fact, the scripture says that Adam named every creature that was created. So he was very important. As a matter of fact, he's the father of all human race. We all came down the line from Adam. But there, something happened in the Garden of Eden that affected human race through just one man. You know, those of you who have seen the domino effect, right? If you've land a domino and it goes, I don't care how far it can go, even to Philadelphia, once you hit the first one, it keeps going until it reaches to the end, right? And that's what sin did. Because of Adam, that domino effect of sin carries upon every man. So just, let's look at our first discussion here this morning. Through Adam's sin, all have sinned. In a sense that we all participated in sin, no matter even if you are not born yet, when you get born, hey, you are a sinner. I didn't say that. It's God's word, sister. I'm just speaking God's word, right? And not only that, there's imputation of guilt. And there's a propagation of natural depravity for all mankind because of Adam. Imagine how heaven would have been, how the Garden of Eden would have been without sin. Everything would have been beautiful. Everything would have been nice. You know, I was listening to this commentary guy. He was telling, and this guy kept complaining. Oh, God knew that Adam would have sinned. God, everything that is going on is God's fault. He should have prevented it. So he said, okay, let me ask you a question. What's your best food, your best dish you love? And he calls, he said, oh, I love mac and cheese and this and that. I said, okay. He said, now, if I went and prepared you a nice dish of mac and cheese, and I brought it before you, I said, have it. But you went and took that mac and cheese and start to put different ingredients into it. And you put different ingredients into it that at the end of the day, you're not able to even eat that mac and cheese. Who fought it, say? Is it me or you? And he said, it's my fault. He said, that's the same thing. When God created the universe, he created man, everything was perfect. There was no sin. Man had an opportunity to commune with God in the cool of the day, have communication with God, talk with God. Everything was good. But the moment man sinned, was it God's fault? It wasn't God's fault anymore. It was man's fault because God gave man the choice to choose life and live, but not to choose the fruit of the middle of the garden. And Adam and Eve disobeyed God, and because of that, they sinned against God. So the world was beautiful because the Bible said when God created everything, he said everything was good, perfect. The only thing he said was not good was when he didn't create Eve. He said, it is not good for a man to be alone. And then he created Eve. After creating Eve, he said, now everything is good. But it's man who destroyed everything that God created that was so good. So let's look at our point. The first point, because of Adam's sin, all have sinned. Help me with the next slide. Thank you. In Romans chapter 5, verse 12, it says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world. One man sin entered the world. So Paul starts off with the word therefore. He's trying to connect what he was saying previously, that mankind have been justified through Jesus Christ, that we now have the benefit that we can commune with God, we can speak with God, we can stand before God's presence, we can have peace, even in trials, we can still rejoice. Nobody say amen to that. But that was the point that Paul was giving the believers in Rome, giving them all the feelings that this is what God did. And God did all of these things, justify us because of what? One man's sin. And that one man's sin caused every mankind to participate into sin. No one can say, oh, I'm sinless. No. Because the Bible said the thoughts of a man is evil all day. the heart of a man. Very wicked, thank you. And the scripture says, our righteousness before the Lord is like what? Of filthy rag. So even though we're trying to be righteous, but God said, hey, your righteousness is like a filthy rag. Amen? Amen. But because of Adam's sin, every one of us, and you say, even the unborn? Yes. But we thank God for grace. Amen? Amen. You see, God just didn't create his children. He always have a means when there's a problem. He always, you know, he had plan B. Someone said, God had plan B when he created the universe. He looked far beyond and know that somewhere down the line, something could have happened. And if something happened, I must have plan B. Because God loved mankind so dearly that he could have fellowship with mankind and interact with mankind. But when mankind sinned, when Adam sinned, the entire world sinned. The next generation to come sinned against God. We all become sinners. And because of Adam's sin, we said sin came into the whole world. Sin entered. Sin is active today. Even before we come to church this morning, some of us may have sinned. Oh, yeah? Sometimes you get angry with the kids in the hall, and then you talk, and you're like, oh. Or sometimes you try and run into work, and then to church, and someone just called you. You're like, yeah. Sin is active. Every second, every minute, sin is active because of one man. And guess what? Sin rules our life if we are not careful because of one man. Paul said, I try not to do the things I want to do, but I keep doing the very things that I want to do. I don't want to do. That's the power of sin. And because of Adam, we all participate in sin. And not only that, sin deprived mankind from a relationship with God. Because when Adam and Eve sinned, God cast them out of the garden. He's holy. He cannot behold sin any longer. Imagine even when Christ was on the cross because of sin, Jesus Christ was carrying the sin of the world. And Christ realized that, and he says, Ela, Ela, lama sabachthani, my Lord, my God, why have thou forsaken me? At that very moment, Jesus became sinful because he was carrying the sin of mankind. And God, who could not behold sin, distanced himself from his only son. The only son that he said, this is my son whom I'm well pleased. At that very moment, he distanced himself from his only begotten son because of sin. Amen? Amen. Sin governs our behavior, our character. We act the way we talk, the way we behave, the things we do. It controls us because of one man, Adam. Because of Adam's sin, we all participate in sin as mankind. Through sin, those sin enter into a world. It also brings death in a lot of parts. And death, through sin, and doth death spread to all men because all have sinned. Men wouldn't have experienced death spiritually. Because even though when we die, our body stays here, but sometimes, I mean, not our body stays here, but our soul, what goes to the Lord, right? So when mankind was sinless, he was a living soul before God. He had communion with God. Mankind lived, but because of sin, mankind died spiritually. And because of sin, many are dead spiritually. until we can come to know Christ and accept it and accept the grace that he gave us to live and have eternal life, we will be there physically and be there spiritually. But we thank God for his grace. You see, when Adam sinned, mankind experienced sin throughout. Help me to the next point there. And because of Adam's sin, there's imputation of guilt. We all become guilty. You know, the law, in the court of law, they say, you are not guilty until what? Until you are found guilty, right? So you cannot claim this person is guilty until he goes through the court of law, until the law declares him guilty, he or she guilty. But with Christ, with God, because of Adam, we all are guilty. Look what he says there in verse 13. He says, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. So what Paul is saying here, now, Paul trying to answer the question that will pop out of reader's mouth. How could there be sin before the law of Moses existed? Because the law of Moses didn't exist right after Adam and Eve sinned when God threw them out of the garden. No. It didn't exist. But guess what? It is not that sin didn't exist before the law of Moses. Yes, after Adam and Eve, sin exists. Cain killed his brother, right? He sinned. During the days of Noah, what happened? It said, the scripture said, wickedness of what? Upon the face of the earth. And God had to tell Noah to build an ark. Wickedness. So in essence, there was sin even after Adam was thrown out of the garden. And not only that, when Adam sinned, his entire generation fell with him because of his sinful nature. And because of that, it creates eternal death to every man that follows Adam. No one was exempted. So we all became guilty by affiliation, right? If someone is driving down the street and have something in their car, or gun or something, and you're in that car and the police pull you over, all of you are guilty, right? By what? Affiliation, association, right? That's what happened to us, Adam. Adam is our forefather. We weren't there in the garden when Adam sinned. But because we came down the line of Adam, we are guilty of sin. That guilt has been transferred to us. Even a born child is guilty when he or she comes into the world. See how sin is so powerful? Look at what Moses said in the book of Genesis chapter 5. Verse 6. He said, then the Lord saw the wickedness of man was so great in the earth, and that every intent of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorrow that he did what? He made man on the earth. And he was grieved in his heart. That's how powerful sin was, is. And it grieved God's heart to see his own that he created because of one man. Let's go on to our next point. The propagation of natural depravity. Look at verse 14. It says that, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. Now, quickly, Paul is saying here that death, because of sin, death reigned over everyone, even the ungodliness, the godliness kind of gripped the world. Mankind continued to sin. If you go by in the book of Genesis, you see Sodom and Gomorrah. God was angry because of sinful attitude of that nation, those nations, God. And God decided to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Even Abraham pleaded with God if he could find 50, 10, all the way down. And God couldn't find good. Only Lot was the only person in his family. Lot and his daughter, because his wife didn't make it through. So you see, even those who had not sinned according to the likeness of transgression of Adam, they were also, because of sin, it kind of deprived every other person that follows Adam, the human race of Adam. That's how the power of sin. And say, after the likeness, spiritual death reign, even through men. Now, God created us in his image after his likeness. So, we are God's image, right? Adam, if God created Adam after English, we also are like Adam in his image. And because of that, that ripple effect of Adam's sin affects the entire natural depravity that God put together, that God took his time and created. And because of that sin, all become sinner. One violation of the law was against the word of God. One violation of the law will bring mankind against the word of God. And no one could wake up in the morning and say, I'm not going to be a sinner. That's impossible. No one. But because of who we are and who we were connected to, caused us to become sinners. Now, since these people die as a result of their own sin, Adam also died. He didn't die from his sin, but God allowed him to live and see the transgression of his own. The sin that he created follows him until his own son, Cain, murder. The first murder that ever took place in the Bible was Adam's son, Cain, killing his own brother. That's how the power of sin defaced every great thing that God created under the face of the earth. Everything was great. Everything was wonderful, but Adam sinned. But in verse 14, there it says, who is a type of him who was to come? And who, when Paul said who, he refers to Adam is the type of him. And the type of him that Paul is referring to is Jesus, which we're going to look at down in our coming passage. What Jesus did that Adam couldn't have done. How Jesus turned it around because of Adam's sin. Help me, Dad. Let's go to the next slide. In Genesis chapter 39, verse 9, it says, there is no one greater in this house than I. And now, before that, sin destroyed everything, right? This passage is when Joseph was sold into slavery. And he was sold to Potiphar's house. And Potiphar's wife fell in love with him. But Joseph refused to allow sin to control him. And look what he said, Potiphar said to him. He said, there is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Joseph knew, even though the law was not written then, But Joseph knew that it was wrong to sleep with another man's wife. And he knew, since he knew, he said, my master have given me authority over everything except you. And he said, I cannot do this great wickedness. He wasn't sinning against his master, but he was sinning against God. And that's how sin kind of destroyed the natural depravity that God has created. The next, in Leviticus chapter, help me dive to the next slide, please. Leviticus chapter 18, verse 3 says, according to the doings of the land of Egypt, where you dwell, you should not do, and according to the doings of the land of Canaan, where I am bringing you, you shall not do, nor shall you walk in the ordinances. God, Moses instructing the children of Israel before God would even give them the Ten Commandments, how they ought to behave. Now, but we're going to see in our next point what God did. Dad, please help me. Like, my pointer is not working today. True death through Adam, we experience what? Life through Christ. And Paul, as I said earlier, discussing these two men, Christ and Adam. Through Adam's transgression, we have grace. And what happened? Grace become the superior effect of a gracious gift that God gave to every sinner, every man. Death in Adam, we have life in Christ. And we were all condemned, but guess what? We were all justified through Christ. We were all sinners, but guess what? We are all righteous through Christ. Let's run through it very quickly. I'm going to need your help. Thank you. Transgression. Adam's transgression in verse 15 says, but the free gift is not like the offense. For if by one man's offense many die, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. Sin brought condemnation, but grace brings what? Pardon. Judgment by Adam, through Adam, was condemnation for all mankind. But the free gift that we experience for the many offenses that we committed, we have grace through Jesus Christ. Now, there are different aspects to this. In Christ, we see life. In Christ, we see hope. In Christ, we have eternal life. In Christ, we have a relationship with God. In Christ, we are new. We are no longer who we used to be. Because Paul said, behold, all things have become new. Right? But in Adam, we were condemned. In Adam, we were doomed for destruction. In Adam, there was no hope. In Adam, everyone was going their own way. For the desire of the heart, living according to the flesh, living to please their desire, living according to their own will. But through Jesus Christ, we found grace. We have, Christ was the greatest gift that mankind ever received. And because of that, our transgression now obtained grace through Jesus Christ. Amen. We didn't receive grace through Adam. We inherited sin through Adam. And because of Adam's sinful nature, we all become sinners. But we thank God that through Christ, we now obtain grace and eternal life. Amen. Paul kind of, you know, among all the books, the gospel, I love reading the gospel of Paul, I mean, the books of Paul, rather, the epistle of, I love reading the epistle of Paul. Because this is a man who experienced that sinful nature, that life that when he became Christian, you could tell that his heart was totally for the Lord. And all that he wrote, kind of, sometimes you read Paul's letter and you say, what did Paul say? You get confused. You say, what? One minute he's saying this, and you're like, oh yeah, everything looks good. And another minute he says, oh, I'm confused. But Paul, as he wrote to the believers in Rome, he tried to convey them that God is not only just a God that he just gave mercy. No. He wasn't just a God punishing Adam and his offering for their sin. No. But he is a God that is merciful, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Because he experienced that when he persecuted believers. But because when he experienced that grace that Christ has brought, that freedom that Christ now gave him, he could now boast, not in his sinful ways, not in his past, but he could boast in the Lord Jesus Christ. The hope, the faith, the grace that he now obtained by just surrendering his life to Christ Jesus. Amen. Look at our next point. Our next point then. Oh, it's working now. Superior effects of the gracious gift. This gracious gift that we now received, as I said earlier, is the best gift that a mankind could have ever received. In verse 6, it says, and the gift is not like that which through one man's sin, for the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation. But the free gift, which comes from many offenses, resulted in justification. The offense, our sinful nature, we sin against God. Because of Adam, we now obtain grace through Jesus Christ. We no longer condemned. We now inherit eternal life through Christ Jesus. We no longer cast aside. We now have hope because of Christ Jesus. We have free gift. You know, we all love gifts, right? You don't pay for gift. If your birthday comes, someone gave you love it, right? Holiday, Christmas coming, you get gift. You love it. But do you love the gift that God gave us through Jesus Christ? It's free. All you need to do is just receive it, accept it, and enjoy eternal life through it. And enjoy freedom in that gift. Because in there you have hope that even death no longer have power. Because of Adam's sin, we will have been condemned to death physically and spiritually. But today, because of the free gift of God, we now have hope and eternal life. Amen. Death has no control over us. Sin no longer have control over us because of the free gift that God has given us through his son, Jesus Christ. Oh, I thought this was working. Now, let's go to death in Adam, life in Christ. In verse 7, it says, for if by one man's offense sin reigned through the one man, through one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Paul makes this clear that we're going to experience abundance of grace, not limited grace. Abounding of grace in life through one man, and that one man is Jesus Christ. He comes, he gave us life, he gave us hope, he gave us eternal life through his death on the cross. We didn't deserve it. We didn't deserve it, but he gave us. And because of that, Paul said, we reign in life, and our life will continue. Even when this life on this side of the universe ends, life will still exist with Christ in heaven. And that's the hope Paul wants us to have, that yes, we inherited sin through Adam. Yes, we were condemned. Yes, but here come Christ. He changed the whole picture. We now have hope. We now have life. And not only here, eternal life with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Help me please with the next slide. And because of Adam's sin, all men condemned. And but because of Jesus, all men are justified. We now have hope. He said, therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came on all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, the free gift come to all men, resulting in justification of life. Because of Jesus, we now have free gift of life. And you can only experience that life when you are in Christ. You can only experience that gift when you are in Christ. You are free from the guilt of sin. I am free from the guilt of sin. Because why? Jesus paid it on the cross. When I couldn't pay it, he did it for me. And because of that, Paul says that it results into what? Justification of life. We now have that hope that we didn't have when we were still attached to Adam. But thank God, Jesus came and broke it. We now attached to him. And because we are attached to him, we have life eternal. He says, so then, in the verse, he says, so then, as to one transgression, there resolved condemnation to all. Christ's accomplishment for all of mankind not only nullified the accomplishment of being dead through Adam, but guess what? But for more of those who receive grace and free gift of righteousness will not only live, but will actually reign in life through Christ Jesus here and even into the next world in heaven. That's the hope. But here's the thing. In order to do that, you have to accept that invitation that Christ has given us. Amen. You are either going to be, have to choose whose side are you on Adam's or Christ. And God forbid, you don't want to be on Adam's side. You want to be on Christ's side because he did everything that Adam couldn't have done. Adam was sinless when God created him, but he disobeyed and brought destruction. Christ was sinless when he came, and he remained sinless even to the cross. And that's who we want to follow. Help me with the next slide, please. And because of that, we want to see the destiny of sin versus righteousness. What sin would have done? Look at verse 15. It says, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. Adam's sin caused many to be what? Sinners. Many to be condemned. But Christ, because of Christ, obedience. Now, Christ's obedience caused every man, Christ's obedience caused every man to be made righteous, even through our sinful ways. And that's the hope we can enjoy through Christ. Obedience through Jesus Christ makes every man righteous. Now listen to this. Paul said, for by one man disobedient, Adam could have listened. Now someone would have said, it wasn't Adam's fault. Because Adam was standing right there when Eve took the apple, right? He was standing right there. But Eve took the apple, and she did what? She gave it to him. Thank you, Danny. He said, yes, she did. But here's the point. God did not put Eve in charge. When he created, he didn't say, Eve, you are in charge of this garden. He said, Adam, you are in charge of this garden. So it's your responsibility to have told Eve, say, look, don't even listen to the serpent. Don't even touch that fruit. Because God said, the day we eat, we even touch it, we will die. That was Adam's responsibility. But because he failed, so we all inherit that sinful nature. So sometimes, husbands, we have to play the role that God called us to play, right? Sometimes it may not sound good, but you got to play that role because why? God puts you there. God puts you in charge. And when we fail, that's what Adam's did. Probably Adam was so in love with Eve and he forgot the instruction that God gave him. And he forgets that, oh, we shouldn't eat because when we eat, we will die. But he was so in love with her. And he loved her that he took right away and ate. Forget about what God says. But because of him, God didn't say, Eve, because of you, mankind, this is the punishment for mankind. He said, Adam. And Paul said, because of Adam. Whoo, maybe God should have created women first, right? Then they will say, oh, no. Adam, don't eat that apple. Yeah. Someone say, yeah. But here's the point. Because of sin through Adam, we all was condemned. But because of Jesus Christ, this one man who did not disobey, through obedience, many are now made righteous through him. If Adam had obeyed, we would still be made righteous, right? But Adam did not obey. But here is Christ who obeyed. And Christ's work was difficult than Adam's work. In a sense that he had to come, leave his glory, came down on earth, and try to bring us back to him. And his work was tedious in a sense that he faced oppression. They didn't believe him. They persecuted him. They hit him, they beat him, they lied on him, they said all sort of things about him. And moreover, he even nailed him, they crucified him. The very people that he saved, he came to save. When he rode on the donkey into Jerusalem, they shouted, Hosanna, Hosanna. It was the same people that said, crucify him, crucify him. But yet he's still on the cross. He said, Father, forgive them. He didn't disobey. He obeyed to the end. And because of that, we have righteousness through Christ Jesus our Lord. Help me, Dad. Let's go to the next slide, please. The triumph of grace over law and sin. Law increases sin. Increased sin highlights surpassing grace. Help me, Dad. The law increases sin. Look at verse 20. It says, moreover, the law entered that offense might abound. But where sin abound, grace abounded much more. You see the power of God's grace? Paul says that even though the law entered that, moreover the law entered that the offense might abound, when God gave the law was there to show men their sinful ways, that they know that they should be able to understand that this is the law, thou shalt not kill. But the law was not there to make them righteous. The law was not there to tell them what they ought to do, to point their sin out. That if you commit the sin, if you commit the act, you are sinning against God. When God gave the Ten Commandments, it was there for the children of Israel to follow and honor God and know that God. But even with that, the law could not save. Where the law failed, guess what Paul said? Grace increased more. The grace increased more. In verse 21, which we're going to look at later, he said, so that as sin reigned in death, and even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Through Jesus Christ, sin came through Adam. Even the law was there, but grace came more through Jesus Christ. Help me, Dad. Let's go to our next slide. Increased sin highlights surpassing grace. In verse 21, it says, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life. Here's the point. Even as sin reigned over mankind from Adam to Christ, sin brings death, but Christ brings spiritual and healing. Christ brings new life. Christ brings hope. And even after the coming of Christ, because he brings hope, because he brings mankind back to God, we now still have grace. Even when we sin, God's grace continues to carry us through. Because Christ paid for our sin on the cross, our present, our future sin to come, he paid for it. And that grace continues to abound us. But Paul says, should we continue to sin that grace may abound? He said, God forbid. But it tells us that how much God loved us, that he continued to give us grace upon grace upon grace, that even when we stumble, he still gave us grace. Even when we fall, he still gave us grace. Even when we backslide, he still gave us grace. He don't hold it back from us. He don't say, oh, I gave you grace now and you don't need it because you continue. He still gave us. That's why Paul said, grace continue to abound more. And not only that, we have righteousness through eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that's the hope we have in Christ. Help me in that. So as we come, I want us to reflect on what we've just said. In what area of your life are you like Adam? Remember, Adam was disobedient, right? He disobeyed God. And are those areas in our life we continue to disobey God? There are some things we do we think is right, but before God it is right. What changes do you need to make in your life that you will become more of Christ-like? And the best thing we can do is that many of us today folks don't, they're not even sure that Christ has given them a righteous life, that Christ overcame sin. And because he overcame sin, they now have that hope that they don't need to go back to those lives that they once lived. And that's the thing that you and I need to re-examine our lives. We now have hope through Christ. We now have righteousness through Christ. We now have peace through Christ. We now have eternal life through Christ. But Adam is still creeping around somewhere in our lives. Adam is still leading us somewhere in our character. Adam, the nature of Adam is still creeping in our mind. The nature of Adam is still pushing us to do what we don't want to do. And the only way to get rid of that is to be assured that Christ's righteousness has overcome your sin. And you no longer have to live like Adam. You no longer have to be a disobedient person. Be an obedient person. And that's why Christ came. And that's the purpose. So that we can have that relationship back. He justified us through his only son. He gave us hope. He gave us that opportunity that we can be reunited with him and be called his children and have eternal life. And that's the opportunity that you and I have. And all we need to do is just embrace it. Accept what Christ did. You don't have to pay anything for it. You don't have to go to a priest. You don't have to do anything. All you need to do is just accept it. And that which Christ did for you is guaranteed.